The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yep. I only love it with some passion. Rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing magic. You ain't a hustle, you broke, well that seems tragic. Gotta catch in the field like deep passes. I tell her plug if it's sticky.
What is going on, sports fans, football fans? It's fans, period. We like to be up in this joint. It's me and your boys, girls for the girls in the building on a Friday night. I know y'all used to chop up on Saturdays, but we gonna get this thing going on Fridays because we like to enjoy college football around this time. We got everything. Sterling definitely likes to enjoy college football around this time of year. So why don't I give you your chance real quick to go ahead and brag on what you got going on with your college football team, because Michigan is just out here having too much fun these days.
Well, they said that the Wolverines couldn't do it. They said that, you know, Jim Harbaugh can't beat Ohio State in the shoe, and he did. Jim Harbaugh is the best coach in the Big Ten, and he got them boys about to play in the college football playoff. Not to mention that we're going to be playing in the Big Ten championship game tomorrow night. Sorry, Bruce. I know you're an Ohio State fan. It's all love over here, but the Wolverines are cream of the crop right now. I can't even hate. By the way, I don't know if you texted me, you know, the first quarter of the game, but did you also notice that Donovan Edwards, running back, played the game with one hand?
I did.
You see how he was busting them tackles and just running just free in the daylight with one hand, bro? It's just amazing.
For the record, though, I do want to make it clear that I was pulling for Michigan. Like, I said that publicly.
You my dog. You got to.
Well, I'm just saying, because I didn't text, because you said I text you. I wanted to make sure it wasn't like people don't think I was texting you on some hate stuff, because Michigan started off slow. My thing was just like, yo, we're going to have to tighten up this defense if that's how it's going to be, man. Like, we got to figure this out. And then, man, like, I feel like the first quarter was a little slow, but I tell you what, bro, once that fourth quarter hit, it was curtains.
Bye-bye.
You talk about a curtain call. It was absolutely over come the fourth quarter. Them boys just – it wasn't even fair. It looked like two completely different teams.
Yeah. Yeah, Michigan's one of the better second-half adjustment teams in college football, and that's proven statistically. I don't think they've given up, you know, more than 30 points on the season in the second half. Like, they've been really good.
Well, real quick, we're going to add my man Antoine Staley. You know, your favorite New York Jets fan is getting the building. What is
yes,
going
sir.
On, bro?
Man, what's up?
Oh, you sound quiet. You tired, man? I just woke up. I ain't going to hold you. I just woke up.
No, I didn't.
What's good with you, though, man? How you doing?
Just busy, but I'm doing all right. How are y'all doing?
We were just talking about how the Michigan Wolverines are the best team in the Big Ten. You know, just you know.
Well, I think so. I mean, as long as they beat Purdue on Saturday, I mean, I think they'll be good. But, yeah, I thought Ohio State was going to win. So,
of course you did. Of course you did.
I didn't trust Michigan and Jim Harbaugh going into Ohio State and winning. Like, I hadn't seen it. Like, I never – like, they hadn't done it. So, how could you blame me?
Yeah. Nah, I didn't think the Bills were going to – I mean, the Wolverines are going to win like that. I did not see that coming.
No, that was like a total domination in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter, that they definitely turned it on.
What my man say, curtains?
Yeah. I said it was a curtain call. I said, yeah, what's that fourth quarter?
At halftime. So, yeah, they just turned it on after halftime, and they're like a completely different team.
Yeah, that is exactly what I said before you popped in. Exact, like, completely different. Shout out to Mr. Diggs in the building. Says, yo, let's go. Buffalo right here, right now. Let's just get right into it. We gave Sterles this moment to shine real quick because it's only right. But let's get right into the Thursday game. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the Jets game. And then we can talk about the Miami game and then whatever other games that y'all think is important around the weekend. Let's start with Twan. Like, yo, the way this game went, I think it went in a way that most Bills fans kind of wanted it to go. You know, I actually expected it to be a little bit more competitive. What are you, just first thoughts off the top? What do you think about last night's game, Bills versus the Patriots? You know, how did it? What went wrong for the Patriots?
I mean, their offense. I mean, I think their offense has been an issue the entire time. I mean, their defense is really good. I mean, I think you can say about three teams in the AFC East, they have really good defenses outside of Miami. Miami is kind of suspect, but yeah, I think the Patriots have a really great defense. Judon is playing all world. What a, you know, argument can be made that he's a big candidate for defensive player of the year. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you got to be able to score points. And I just feel like, you know, they're not set up in a position where they can do that. And it's not all Mac Jones' fault. I think it's easy to look at that. But look at who the play caller. I mean, they got Matt Patricia. I mean, Joe Judge are running offense. I mean, that's not really a recipe for success, to be honest with you. So I thought it would be close for a little bit, and then the Bills would pull away, and that's kind of exactly what happened.
Man, Mac Jones was upset, bro. He was on the sideline screaming, throw the ball, run the game, or the running game sucks. Like, you know, he was going in. I think I can understand his frustration. After the game, Ryan Fitzpatrick was talking about how it's a difficult thing when, like, your offensive coordinator don't trust you. And you can tell that he don't trust you because the play calls that's coming in is like run here, run there, maybe a screen, short pass here, and they just won't open up the playbook. Sterles, like, watching it, I know we're Bills fans, but watching the game and looking at it, trying to look at it from the lens of a Patriots fan, and you see how that offense is, and then you see how Josh Allen is out there just like, you know, slinging, just throwing the ball everywhere. I don't even know how to ask this question, man. Like, how frustrated is that for a fan? But then it's like, what really realistically could you have expected as a Patriots fan? Because I haven't seen Mac. I know the Vikings game was okay, but I haven't seen Mac Jones like really light the scoreboard up, you know, throughout his career.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, so if we look at the Vikings game, the Vikings don't have a really good defense. So Mac Jones was able to, he was able to get his. But I think when you play a Sean McDermott-led defense, you know, they're going to test you. And you have to, you know, they're going to change the look at post-snap, and you're going to have to answer. And they don't have the weapons to do so. And Mac Jones is not comfortable in that offense. You know, that little quick game stuff they were doing is just not going to work. It's not going to work. And so they definitely going to have to Matt Patricia's not an offensive coordinator, and I don't even know why he's even calling the plays to begin with. I mean, that whole
experiment. They don't have anybody else.
Right. They don't. And Bill Belichick, for all the connections that he has and so forth, you just think that, like, they would have done a better job of that. And this is, you know, Twan, I think we've probably all kind of talked about this prior to the season, but, like, this was kind of going on in training camp where they didn't have an identity on offense, and you just heard, like, there's no movement in this offense. And then even the 7 points, the touchdown that they did score, came from Marcus Jones, who's a DB, and he only had one snap on offense. So it's extremely predictable. So they got some work to do.
It's just ugly. Twan, you want to kind of jump on that as well? Talk about how that offense
is. I just think that it's just no continuity whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's easy to point fingers at Matt Jones, but, you know, he's not the reason why they don't have a lot of weapons. And he's not the reason why, you know, the play calling has been crappy, probably to say the least. Nicely.
That's a nice way. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think so many, it's easy to put the blame on him. But, you know, I think look at Bill Belichick. I mean, he's not putting them in a position to win. That's basically what it boils down to. And, you know, some of the things that Belichick did well early in his career, he's not necessarily doing some of the same things now. And I know it's easy to say, you know, you had Tom Brady and that was the reason why they win, but they're why they won, but they also won because they had really good defenses too as well. But you know, they just don't have a lot of playmakers. And it goes back to what why the reason Brady left in the first place too, because they the lack of playmakers that they had. And you know, he didn't want to deal with that, what Matt Jones is kind of dealing with, you know, right now.
And you know what? It's interesting, like to look at it, like for years, you feel like the quarterback situation there, when they had Brady, he took less so that way he could pay his offensive line and get a weapon here or there. And it just seems like, you know, you got Mac Jones in this rookie contract. You would think that you would still be able to build the team the same way. But man, those weapons, they spent a lot of money on those tight ends, and they're not getting the type of return on that type of investment. The Bills aren't either, but they're not getting the type of return on that type of pay that you want. The wide receivers, does anybody really think Devontae Parker is a true number one wide receiver for a roster?
I mean, he was good, like, but he can't stay healthy. That's really the main thing for him. Like, it's always like I covered him with the Dolphins. Like, I mean, he has the talent, but he can never stay healthy. And he had that one good year in Miami where he stayed relatively healthy, but outside of that, like nothing really.
It's just insane. Mr. Diggs in the comments says Green Bay and Pats have the same problem, not investing in an early round wide receiver. I think it's a little different. I mean, it's yes to this point, but I think it's a little different because you really, I think Green Bay over the years have just kind of assumed that Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, he can elevate the play of everybody around him. They did get him Devontae Adams at one point, and that was like a match made in heaven. But now it's just like, okay, you just got to make everybody better. Sometimes you just like now it's starting to play out now. I think Christian Watson looks dynamic. Like he looks like he they found something. But you know, early on, whether
second round pick. I mean, even Devontae Adams was second round pick.
Yeah. So I mean, but the Pats, man, they just don't have. Now Ramondre Stevenson is a weapon. I love that. Sure. He didn't get to go off last night, thankfully, on the Bills. But like really all season, he's been going off. Like every game, he's their leading receiver and their leading rusher. And you know, man, I love that dude. I can't even hold you. Like I hate giving compliments to the Patriots on any level, but him and Matthew Judon are like my two favorite players in the division outside of the Bills. Sterles, let's talk a little bit about the Bills offensive line, and then I want to flip that question to Antoine about the Patriots. So Bills offensive line, we were without our starter left tackle Deion Dawkins. We kind of played, I don't even know if you want to call it musical chairs with Questenberry. He had his left ankle injured. Then we finally they put Bobby Hart in for a couple plays, and he was even worse without an injury. Like, how do you look at the performance of what we saw in that offensive line?
Man, it was bad. Namely, you know, David Questenberry. Like David Questenberry plays mostly. I mean, he could play guard, he could play right tackle, but putting him on the left side, I mean, they really didn't have a choice because obviously they weren't confident in putting Bobby Hart, which he did see some time at left tackle. But I mean, ankle injury aside, I mean, you look at his technique and what he was trying to do, and it just wasn't working. Like, and you get him up against a dynamic athlete like Josh Uche. From Michigan, you know, I got ripped my guy, but and Matthew Judon, man, there was no hope. There was no hope. I mean, I felt bad for Josh at times. It kind of reminiscent of what it looked like when he was a rookie with the Bills. You know, they didn't have no help on offensive line, but it was really bad, man. It goes to show, you know, Deion Dawkins is worth every penny they pay that man, because Questenberry looked bad. I had people texting me who really aren't football fans talk about how bad David Questenberry looked at left tackle. So it was rough.
He was bad, man. Like, it was time. And I get it. He's injured, so I'm not kicking him while he's down. But I'm just saying, like, I'm the guy. I feel like, because I'll bring this comment back up. Spin says, I got to give props to Questenberry for hanging in there. I mean, I knew he was going to get beat and kept going. And then Buffalo Late Night says, Questenberry's injury didn't help, but we do need Deion back. My thing is, I don't like to use excuses on any level. And I think I've said it to both of you several times throughout the year at this point now. It's like, if you're injured, don't play. If you're not injured and you're playing, I don't want to use the excuse as an injury. So I don't know. Like I understand that he had a messed up ankle, but he got beat several times. Yeah. He tripped over his own feet several times. Like it was just bad. But then on the flip, I feel like the offensive line for the Patriots, they really didn't do. I mean, Mac Jones ran around a lot. He got away from these guys. I don't know why we couldn't seem to tackle him. But Antoine, what was your perspective of looking at that Patriots offensive line? It seemed like without Von, the Bills still were able to kind of put some pressure, and they got home a couple times, but just not as much as you would think the way they were getting back there.
Well, they've had some issues too, kind of with musical chairs. I know Andrews was out there back this week too, but you know, he's had some injuries concerns there, but yeah, I mean, I think that's been an issue their entire year. You're able to be able to get penetration on, you know, Matt Jones. And, you know, I definitely saw it when the Jets played them a couple of times too, where they sat them a combined 12 times in two meetings, like, which is just insane. So, yeah, I'm not really surprised that, you know, the Bills were able to get pressure on. I was surprised that, you know, they weren't able to bring him down probably as much as they should have, because they probably should have registered more sets. I don't know what the total was exactly, but, you know, I felt like they were in the backfield a lot more than that's probably the sack total would indicate. But yeah, I mean, I think the Patriots have had, that's one of their bigger issues. They can't really protect Matt Jones. I know he can move a little bit, but you know, when you have a guy like there, that's not like a Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields, you got to be able to protect them a little bit better than what they have been. And that's really, you know, indicative of some of their offensive issues.
We just got done talking about the Patriots not having the right weapons, but I actually asked this question too. Is Belichick not as good of a GM as he is a coach? Because it does seem like, obviously, when the game is on, when the lights are on, typically throughout his career, he knows how to move the pieces around on the field, and they win, they do good things. But during the offseason, man, it's just like there's been some questionable head-scratching decisions over the last couple seasons. Besides Matthew Judah, I think that was the best signing that he's had in ages. But, you know, aside from that, it's like, is he really just not the GM that he is as a coach?
But, I mean, he's always been kind of picking the players. I mean, he's always had control of that. So it's not like that hadn't always been the case. I mean, he had a person helping him, but – ultimately, it's his call. It's his decision on the roster moves and everything. Like, he has all that power. It's just now he's just not making the right decisions. That's basically what it boils down to.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because the thing is, when you have Tom Brady, it masks all your problems, and he doesn't have that security blanket anymore. And I think Bill Belichick, the GM, has always been bad. I don't think he's ever really been had a keen eye for talent in terms of valuation. I think, you know, coaches should coach and GM should handle the roster. So without Tom Brady in that safety blanket, a lot of their issues are showing up.
And I don't think they've drafted well either. And that's just, right.
That's the problem. Like, yeah, it's they free agency, they've made some nice, okay moves at times, but you know, you got to be able to draft well and then replenish that talent. And that's something that they had not been able to do. You take a Cole Strange in the first round when somebody, you know, he probably would have been a second or third round pick.
Right.
I mean, that's not really smart business where, you know, trying to reach like that.
Tyquan Thornton in the second round.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to make better decisions because you're trying to replenish your roster, and they don't have the talent that some of these other teams have. I mean, they have great coaching. That's why they're probably going to win 8 games or so. But, right, you know, to have that talent, that lack of, then it's just really killing them right now, especially in the division where it's so, you know, dead on and tight right now.
Yeah, the division and I guess even still after this game, is I feel like it's the best or the second best division in football, depending on just depending on your perspective, because you got the NFC, East, and then the AFC East, and both of those divisions just seem to kind of be like, look, we're gonna dog it out every week. It's gonna be some games where the rankings gonna change every single week, right. And I mean, you saw last week, the Bills went to first after Thanksgiving and they went back to second. Now they back first again. It's a weird thing to see the Patriots at the bottom looking up, but it's a great feeling. I don't know how it feels for you, Anso. You've covered every team except the Bills, right? So you've covered the Patriots. No? Mm-mm. Okay. I don't know why I felt like it.
But no, I never covered the Patriots.
Okay. It's just weird, at least for me as an adult now, because my entire adult life has been the Patriots. You know, it's like they've been that squad, and it's crazy to look at the Bills, and now I think Miami's here to stay for a while. I don't think this is a fluke. I'm not a huge Miami fan because of my allegiance to the Bills, but you know, when you watch them, they're dangerous. They got two receivers that they're going to have for a while. Tua looks good in this system. I don't think it's that Tua's out there looking like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but I think this system absolutely fits his style of play and fits his talent level. And look, sometimes all it takes is, and I don't want to call him a system quarterback, but sometimes all it takes is having the right coach call the plays that benefit you.
Well, he had a guy believing in him now. I mean, he really didn't have that before. He had a guy that didn't want him. That's basically what it boils down to. I mean, so having somebody, it ain't even just the system for me. I thought he played well under Flores. He just wasn't confident in him. Mm-hmm. He didn't believe. He wanted Deshaun Watson. Let's just call it what it is. He wanted Deshaun Watson to be his quarterback. You know, Chris Greer didn't oblige, and obviously Stephen Rawls too. So they decided to stick with Tua, and it's really paying off right now. So, yeah, I mean, the man's playing at an MVP-type level right now. I mean, you can't really deny that. He's definitely a 3-4 top four candidate for the MVP at the moment.
I don't like it. I don't like it. But before we move on to it, because I do want to talk Dolphins, obviously. They have a huge game this week. Every game is huge. The Jets game is huge. So before we move on to that, my squad over at the Mafia Talk says, Big Dubs, Edmonds catching bodies. I know if I see any comment about my dog Tremaine, I got to bring it up. And then I do want to kind of touch on the rule. It's been like this since Dez. I hate that rule about, you know, the ball didn't hit the ground. I think he established possession, and obviously I'm a Bills fan, so I'm saying it was an interception. It should have been called an interception. It
should have been an interception.
But I feel like that was an interception, man, and it's like sometimes the interpretation of these rules are a little, like to me, super annoying. Twan, what was your – and then I'll swing that right up to you, Sterls, after Twan. What was your interpretation of that? Like, I feel like it was a catch, man.
I mean, he didn't maintain possession the entire time. I mean, that's – look, it sucks as a rule, but I get it because you want him to be able to make sure you caught the ball and you're not juggling it outside, you know, when you fall down. But, I mean, it sucks, man. But I think it's the right call. I really do. Like, I mean, it's hard to know what a catch is anymore. That's basically what it boils down to when, you know, you get these rules and you're like, I don't know the guy. Like, the ball might have been moving. Did it hit the ground? But, you know, ultimately, I think if it's any kind of question – you got to call an incomplete. So, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with the call. It's just, it kind of sucks for Bills fans because, you know, that was such an outstanding play at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I'll be okay with it if it was consistent. And the problem is, it's just not consistent, right? What is the catch? And the rules need to, can the rules just be changed, man? Like, we make the simplest things hard when it comes to officiating and the rules of the NFL. And I get it. Yeah. I mean, you know, that did seem like that he juggled the ball, but at the same time, man, caught the ball 2 feet in after that, to me, it shouldn't matter, you know, but unless the ball just completely drops and hits the ground. Yeah. So I think it should have been a pick. I mean, as my Bills fandom comes in, that's a damn pick. All right, Twan, you would probably feel differently if it was if it was Sauce doing that, but
no, I wouldn't. I mean, I just think you have to be able to maintain that possession, no matter who it is, in its stead. But yeah, I get your point too. Like, he made a great play, and then it sucks to have it overturned like that.
All right, and then the last topic on the Bills before we start moving on to the rest of the AFC and then around the league, my man PJ, he's right. We got to at least touch on this. So Odell Beckham Jr. spent some time in New York, New Jersey yesterday and today. I feel like that he had – well, he's in Jersey. Twan always laughs when I point that out.
Yeah, like he didn't go – they went to the city last night and had dinner. So they
And then he's been at the facility. He was at the facility today.
Which you could throw a rock over to the city. I get your – okay, this is go ahead. This is go ahead because we're not going to agree with this. Go ahead.
It's only one team in New York State, bro. It's only one.
Like, oh, my God. This is so territorial.
They don't pay New York State taxes.
I don't blame them.
I don't either. I think it's smart. No, I think it's smart. It's incredibly brilliant.
And also, where are you going to build a football stadium in New York City?
I mean, Jay-Z and them figured it out for the basketball arena over there.
That's 20,000 people. Try to fit like 80,000 somewhere in the middle of the Bronx or somewhere like
that. Hey, they could take some of them parks down. Shit.
Good luck.
That's the Monopoly, man.
But the point is, he visited the Giants first. He has an order of visit, so it's the Giants, the Bills, the Cowboys. I'm hearing that KC is a little bit in play as well, even though I thought that that kind of died out. And then there was one more team I feel like was making some noise when it came to the OBJ sweepstakes. I got to look it up while we talk about this. Let's start with this one with Sterles. I still think. Regardless of how good Isaiah McKenzie played the last two games and regardless that Gabe grabbed a touchdown yesterday, I still think we absolutely need somebody like Odell Beckham Jr. How's your feelings when it comes to the potential? I know we're coming off the ACL tear, but what do you feel like, you know, this could mean for the Bills if we don't let this – because he's supposed to be in Buffalo tonight.
Yeah, I think it would be huge. They could use a talent like OBJ – And not just from a football perspective, but I just think another dude opposite Stephon Diggs with that type of confidence would be amazing. Just I think it would give the whole offense a boost. And you know, Odell can get it, you know, short, intermediate, and long. His route running is just really good, man. And I think it would unlock this offense to another level. But, you know, the dollars got to match. And, you know, the cool thing about all this is no matter who gets Odell – he's going to sign for a 2 or 3 year deal is what it sounds like. Well, that's a rumor. So, you know, it'd be cool for the man to get his bag, but if he wants to win a Super Bowl or be with a team that's really close to doing that, you know, I think it's with Buffalo rather than the Cowboys.
I think it's with both. I mean, I feel like Bills fans talk about Cowboys like they're nothing. Right. But I think the Cowboys have a good defense. I think Dak is a good quarterback, and they have some key pieces. I'm just confused as to why you want to sign Odell Beckham Jr. at this point of his career and then you let Amari Cooper go. Like, to me, that's just the only confusing part. Like, you had Amari Cooper. You had the talent. And Twine looks like he don't agree.
It's money. No, it's money. Like, yeah. That's why. It was a bit salary. It's a bit of a salary dump. That's basically what it was. So, I mean, and yeah, I think the Cowboys definitely need somebody else. And I thought they thought probably somebody else would step up out opposite side of CeeDee Lamb, but that hasn't been the case too as well. So, yeah, they definitely could use somebody like that. Buffalo could use somebody like that. I mean, I know you talked about Kansas City, obviously. I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, they've looked great, but it's still like something maybe missing. With the Chiefs too, right? Where they need a playmaker like that. I don't know how much he's going to give you at this stage, at least right now. But you know, to have somebody that can command that attention, I definitely think would be big for any of these teams, including, I mean, even the Giants too, where they definitely need another playmaker, somebody to take some pressure off Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I feel like all three of these teams that we're talking about have it. PJ mentions that. Allen misses Beasley. I think we all miss, like, if you're being honest about what the game is and the way Josh Allen has been connecting with his weapons here, I think all three teams, we miss – two of those teams miss Beasley, the Cowboys and the Bills. Shout out to RC3 with the Super Chat. Love the show, guys. Keep up the good work, man. Thank you so much. Mr. Diggs with another one. Ty, guys, Allen. Thank you guys.
Thank you okay. guys.
I'm like, hi, guys. That sounds crazy over here. Like, I can't read. Allen Diggs' connection is primed for Super Bowl 57. I hope so, man. But I feel like coming into the season, I didn't feel like there were going to be as many teams in that conversation. But now I feel like it kind of developed into more than just like the usual suspects. So let's get into it. And the first one, we already kind of started talking about them a little bit earlier. Let's talk about Miami, man. This Miami and San Francisco 49ers game is probably, for me, the game of the weekend that I'm going to be paying attention to the most. I think I said earlier, y'all know what my rooting interest is, and I'm definitely out there when it comes to the 49ers. Twan, let's talk about this game from your perspective, man. I know, you know, it matters with the Jets as well, because the Jets is close when it comes to the standings.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'll talk about that matchup too. I mean, it's best going to come down to, you know, the Dolphins offensive line. I think, you know, they're going to be without Armstead, it looks like. He's doubtful for the game against San Francisco, and I imagine he doesn't play because I think they want him for the home stretch and, you know, somebody that has, like, injury history there with him. So, yeah, I mean, going up against that 49ers defensive line, which is one of the best in the NFL, obviously a lot of people talk about Bosa, too, and what he's able to do there. Can they protect Tua? And then if they're able to protect Tua, then I think you'll be able to get some explosive plays down the field. But I think it's going to be a tough challenge too, especially when you're facing a defense that's as good as what they're, you know, going to face on Sunday. So yeah, that's a big matchup. And also, can they slow down Christian McCaffrey and the 49ers offense? I think the Dolphins offense has been, I mean, defense has been suspect. You know, even if you look at the second half of the Houston Texans game last week there, they kind of took the foot off the pedal. I know they were up, you know, pretty big in that one, and they allowed some points there late. And, you know, I guess the offense like this with Kyle Shanahan calling the plays, then, yeah, I definitely think, you know, it's going to be a tough challenge for them. So I think I like the 49ers in this one. And, you know, I know Tua has been undefeated, you know, in the games he's finished as a starter, but, you know, I definitely think that's probably going to come to an end on Sunday.
Shout out to my girl B. She says she need the 49ers to squish the fish. That's how, I think that's how all the Bills fans are thinking. I feel like I heard, and I got to go back and double check, but I'm thinking that I read somewhere that both their starting tackles are going to miss this game as well. So I think this is like going to be a Nick Bosa. And
I know Austin Jackson is like, I think he's going to play. Yeah, but I think he's questionable, but I think he's going to play. But I know Armstead is doubtful, so he's probably not going to play.
Man, that I mean, huge. It's a huge loss. It's like, and I think as a Bills fan, we can say after seeing Deion Dawkins out, like, you can understand what a starting left tackle or a starting tackle missing that, especially against a team like the 49ers that has that type of pass rush, is just – it's insane. Shout out to my cousin, John Banks. Love you, man. The Giants aren't good. Overrated. Tua is left-handed. Jimmy G, not a knock. And the Bills are clicking right now. Love you, Spence. I love you too, man. I don't think the comparison between Tua and Jimmy is a bad thing, but I think...
No, man.
49ers fans are saying it, and it's not a bad thing. I don't look at it as a knock, but I think that they're a little bit different. I like Tua more than I like Jimmy.
And he's more accurate. He's way more accurate.
Yeah. I don't like Tua, but I like Tua, if that makes sense. Like, I don't like that he plays for the Dolphins, but, man, he, what, 69% completion percentage, 19 touchdowns, three interceptions. And, I mean, he's doing what he's supposed to do. You know, he's the point guard in that offense, and he was that in Alabama, and he's doing that right now. And in this game that we're talking about, the 49ers have the number one ranked defense in the NFL. And the Miami Dolphins are ranked third. So I think this will be a really good test for Tua to see. I kind of liken to Josh Allen when they had to go to San Francisco and play the 49ers a few years ago. We kind of got to see where Josh Allen was in his development and maturation. I think the same thing will be said for Tua after this game on Sunday. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top.
Yeah, they got a tough stretch of games like the last six weeks. So we're going to find out a lot about them. You know, I know they had a bit of a sulfur schedule, but – you know, all these last six games are pretty brutal.
Yeah,
I feel like we back on top, man. Like, for us, it's in our own hands. Like, as a Bills fan, you're excited about the end of this season, because now it comes down to, okay, if the Bills show up, you know, you got a very, very strong chance to win a division and maybe even still be in position for the conference. What are your keys to victory in this game? If you're a Dolphins fan, how do you, especially with these injuries that we just talked about, how do you go out to San Francisco and win this game?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prof G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis, because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, We provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Goes back to protecting Tua, as I kind of touched on, running the ball. Yeah, I definitely think that's a big key too. So you're not throwing the ball like 35, 40 times. So the pass rush doesn't necessarily get to you on a regular basis. And trying to slow down Christian McCaffrey too. I know Mitchell for San Francisco is gonna be out for 6 to 8 weeks. So a lot of it's gonna be on McCaffrey there and to run the load there. So if you're able to shut him down, then I definitely think they gotta. Legit shot. I think it's going to be one of the better games of the weekend, too, to be honest with you. It's sad that I don't think a lot of people are going to be getting the game there nationally. But, yeah, it's definitely one of the marquee games of the weekend, if not the marquee game of the weekend.
Man, if they don't go ahead and just let, you know, I get it. But I feel like I feel like football – all of these games should be included with, if you got DirecTV and you got all these different sites, we paying for everything these days. You got 17 different subscriptions to stuff. If you even have like the NFL Plus app, first of all,
it's trash.
Not good. It is not good. But no, you got, you're paying for all of these subscriptions. And then like, you can't even watch the games you want to watch. It's ridiculous, man. I got links on deck. If y'all need them, hit me up on Twitter. I'm joking. Don't take the video. but now Sterling's in the flip. What do you think the 49ers have to do? Twan just kind of talked about what, you know, the Dolphins have to do to win this game. What do we want to see from the 49ers? Because I want to see them win.
Yeah, I think you need to take a page out of the Tony Dungy defensive playbook of success, which is, you know, A, don't let them burn you deep. You know, keep it all in front of you. Make Tua have 8, 9, 10 play drives. Make them earn every touchdown they get. You have the number one defense. You got a great matchup linebacker, Fred Warner. You got guys on the edge that can rush the passer. You know, apply pressure, with that front four, right? You know, their front seven is really good. So I would just, run the football. Make them, you know, San Francisco, the Dolphins don't have a good defense. You know, they're – in the secondary, they're missing cues. Xavier Howard is a great turnover machine, but at the same time, it's like they can't cover a soul back there. So I would keep the pedal to the metal there. I would throw the ball deep and I would throw it often. I know it's Jimmy Garoppolo, but yeah, keep it run that football, man. That's their bread and butter.
Yeah, they believe it or not, Xavier Howard just has one interception this year, which came last week. So.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's hard to believe.
But he's always around the football.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, he hasn't had the year I think a lot of people expected. But I think part of that also, they've been throwing to the other side and then not trying to throw his way, especially when, you know, you don't have a Byron Jones there who's been out all year.
Well, I'm looking forward to this game. Like I know it was funny and whatever, but when I tell you I'm a 49ers fan for real this weekend, it's going down. Like
here's the thing. Like, if the Bills take care of business the next couple of weeks, you got nothing to worry about.
It's not even just a worry. Like, for me right now, when it comes to this game, I'm so sick and tired of the way Dolphins fans talk. It's not even about the because I'm confident in my team now. Like I said earlier, everything's in our hands. We, you know, if the Bills win, if they show up every week, it is what it is. But man, the way these Dolphins fans talk, they so reckless, man. But I get it. They're excited because their team is winning. They finally have something to be excited about over the last few years, especially when it comes to the Bills. They beat the Bills this year. Since Josh Allen has come into the league, he's owned them. So I mean, I understand the excitement, you know. But it's just like, dude, the way they talk. And then there's this one content creator specifically. Who was super disrespectful after we lost that game. The chefs. Are you familiar with the chefs in Buffalo? They're always
We talked about this earlier.
Yeah, man. Like, this clown. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I just can't. So I can't wait, dog. I can't wait. Like, Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about these Jets. The Jets got to be no, because for real, it's so man, it's just so disrespectful. And it's like the chefs are two dudes that if you've ever met them, they're two of the nicest cats. Like for real, like they're just so nice to everybody. They've been super fans forever. So yeah. If you ever come to Buffalo and you want to take a picture with the chefs, they do it. They smile. They, you know, it's like it's, they never give any issue. And this guy is like cussing them out, saying all types of things that they don't play for the team. You know what I'm saying? Like, show some respect to people in general. Like, you just complete. Anyway, the Jets game. Twine, you can take the lead on this, man. What is happening this Sunday?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think that, you know, the Jets have an opportunity. If they're going to win, they got two games on the road against the Vikings and Bills. I think this is the easier of the two. Not that just the Vikings, but their defense is ranked 32nd in pass coverage in NFL this year. So if you're going to win this, then I think this is – if you're going to want to win one, at least split, this is the one to do it. I mean, Mike White had a tremendous day against the Bears, you know, threw for over 300 yards, three touchdowns. Obviously, this is a much different challenge when you're facing the Vikings, although I know the secondary isn't good. They do have a really good front four with Zadarius Smith and also Danielle Hunter. They're able to get pressure there with their front four. So it's going to be about Mike White. Can he make sound decisions once again? And, you know, you're not going to have you're not going to have Michael Carter starting. He's doubtful for the game there. I doubt he's going to play. And then James Robinson hasn't necessarily worked out. He's not necessarily happy about his role. He was inactive last week. So you're probably going to have to rely on Zonovan Knight and also Ty Johnson to carry the run game. And, you know, it's a tall order, but, you know, I definitely think the Jets have enough to be able to get the job done. And if you can get pressure on Kirk Cousins, force some mistakes there defensively, it should be another close game, especially with their defense there. It's just about can they pull it out in the end once again. And, you know, we saw with the Patriots game how they weren't able to pull it out. It came down to a special teams play, and I definitely think it could be the same case in this one.
Can you speak to – I do too. I was going to ask a question about that. Can you speak to like what, you know, Mike White being a starter last week, like, have you seen a difference in the approach or the energy with the team now? You know, Mike White comes in for the second year in a row. He's done this and provided a spark offensively for this team. What's the energy like with the players?
Well, I think they like Mike White. I think he's just a really nice guy. That's just easy to root for, especially with his story where, you know, he came from Dallas, you know, he was way from them and the Jets signed him and he kind of bounced back between the practice squad and the active roster and finally stuck last year and got his opportunity when Zach Wilson got hurt and had the great game against Cincinnati there. Wasn't able to really follow that up against matchups against the Colts and then threw four interceptions against the Bills there and now has his opportunity to try to keep the job permanently, at least for the rest of the year anyway. Like, I don't know what may happen in the offseason, but at least for the rest of the year, keep the job there. Although the Jets they'll tell you on the outside that their plan is to bring back Zach Wilson at some point. But, you know, if you keep winning, you know, it's going to be hard to, you know, in order to do that. So as long as he takes care of business on these next 2 weeks, then I think he's going to remain the starter. But if they go 0-2 and he struggles, then, you know, they might bring back Zach Wilson and, you know, they also might be, you know, eliminated from playoff contention eventually too as well. But Mike White gives you the best opportunity to reach the playoffs. All he needs to do is just play average football. You don't need to necessarily go out there and be Kurt Warner back in 1999 where you come off the bench and, you know, become the Super Bowl MVP. You just need him to, you know, not turn the ball over and give you a playmaker's opportunity to win.
And that's the thing, man. And that sounds so bad when you think about you have a first round pick that you would think would be able to take advantage of a defense like the Jets have. The Jets have, you know, as much as I dog them, you know, I joke and I dog them, but it's like they have a defense that if they just had a quarterback that didn't lose the game for them, the Jets could probably have a similar record to the Bills and the Dolphins right now.
They could take Matt Jones and I think they be right there. They just need average quarterback play. That's it. Crazy. Like, you put Matt Jones on the Jets right now, they would have a chance to win it. At least they're making the playoffs. Like, right. At least.
It's just crazy. You know, it's crazy to think about. So my question to you, and this is like, it's not I guess it's not relevant right now because we're in the season and all that. But if things keep going this way, could you see, because I really feel like a trade for certain quarterbacks around the league. Like, I feel like I thought Jimmy should have left San Francisco last year. I could see Jimmy coming to a team like New York and being better than, you know, like just to be a consistent quarterback, not lose games for you, not, you know, I think he's better than what a lot of people are giving him credit for. I know this year he got some weapons that's like, you know, you get Christian McCaffrey with Deebo Samuel, you're going to be scared. I could probably go out there and throw for 100 yards, maybe. You know what I mean? Give me a couple of those, what do they call it, the pitch, the little pass handoff joints they do. Give me a couple of those. I could get you 100-something yards. But I think somebody like Jimmy Garoppolo could come to New York, and I'm not going to say Jersey this time. I ain't going to make you mad, but it could come to New York.
That's not making me mad. But, I mean, there's a connection. Rob Bisala was the defensive coordinator in San Francisco. I mean, Mike LaFleur is, you know, they run a similar offense as the 49ers. So Matt LaFleur was there. I mean, so, yeah, they have, like, connections, like, with the 49ers. So it would be perfect, like, for Jimmy G. They end up going from San Francisco to New York. So, yeah, I definitely think that's a possibility. I think it'd be some kind of veteran quarterback. I think you got to add somebody. Derek Carr might be a possibility there. I think the Raiders will probably let him go. In the off season, we'll see what happens with Ryan Tannehill and Tennessee Titans. I know they took Willis in the third round last year, but you know they may keep him another year. But I know he has like a big cap number they might want to get away from. So those are probably names, the three names that I would probably look at as far as like veterans that can come in and you know stabilize the situation until you find a you know long term solution.
I would like to see Derek Carr in Indianapolis. I would like to see him with the Colts.
That would make sense.
That'd be nice.
But I don't know who the coach is going to be. It's not going to be Jeff Saturday moving forward unless they just go.
Dude, I don't even remember. Did we talk about that, we haven't. Like
I was not here when we talked. Like if you did, I wasn't here. So
man, can we just real quick go back in time for a minute and talk about the foolishness that happened at the end of that game where he just basically gave the clock management. I feel like if you play Madden, you know to call a damn timeout there. You know what I mean? Like, and I hate to even use that because I feel like everybody who thinks they, you know, everybody who plays Madden thinks they know how to coach. But I mean, seriously, if you play Madden, you know to call a timeout there. What the heck was going on? And like, I don't get it. That's the first major fumble.
Well, I don't know. That was one of them, but I think, you know, it was like, how can I say this? It was like he was not calling timeouts in order for them to lose. It's like they were tanking. That's what it looked like. I don't want to say they were, but that's what it looked like. It was like, you know, we're not going to call these timeouts because everything was just discombobulated. And then I'm like, why are you not calling time? Like, you're letting so much time go off the clock there. It makes no sense whatsoever. It goes back to, this guy shouldn't have got the job in the first place. But yeah, I get you wanted a motivational guy, wanted to get somebody to get the offensive line in check and wanted somebody to, you know, try to, you know, get some energy in that room. And it worked for a game. I mean, they beat the Raiders, but then again, like anybody, I think a lot of coaches could have beat the Raiders there. So it's not really, you know, saying a whole lot, but it's just a mess. Like Ursay, I don't know what they're doing. Like, I don't know if they
And shout out to my dog, Josh Jacobs, when we talk about the Raiders. I got to put some respect on Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, he's leading rusher in the NFL right now. So
yeah. He's killing.
Who
he
saw
killing,
that coming? Man.
Well, I liked him, but I ain't see this coming. You know what I mean? Like, I've always spoken highly of him. And I remember last year on the Hump Day Hotline, me and Joe talked about it. Or was it last year we played him or the year before? Whenever we played the Raiders last, and I'm like, yo, I'm telling you, if we don't stop the run, because we had a weak running defense at that point. And I'm like, Josh Jacobs has the ability to kind of just open it up. And I didn't think he was going to open it up like this. This year, he's having a season, man. Yeah. Like, I love it for him, too, because he's about to get paid. He's about to get paid. So go ahead and get that franchise. Back.
He may get franchised a year, but, yeah, eventually he's going to get paid, I think.
Yeah, he's going to get paid and fall off is what's going to happen. Because anytime you dump all that money to a running back, man, it just don't go well.
I hate paying running backs like that, too. That's why I was like, yeah, I might franchise him for a year to see if he can do it again and then maybe draft somebody else and let him go.
It worked out paying Shady for us, and you know, it's
that's true.
It's certain. I understand that it's not normal, but I'm saying like there's certain guys like Derrick Henry got injured, but he looks back. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, because his running game is coming back. Like this year, I think the NFL was averaging the entire across the entire NFL. They're averaging more yards per carry ever. Like in the history of the NFL, it's the most average yards per carry. And I love it. I love it. Real quick question about the Bills. Mafia Talk wants to know, so with this running back room, are we comfortable letting Motor walk and give the backfield to Cook? Or do you think we'll either draft another running back and sign a vet? Does Hines take over? I don't think Hines takes over. I keep saying this. I've been saying this week by week. I think Nyheim Hines is a good football player, but I don't think he's the football player that Bills fans anticipated him being. He is not Christian McCaffrey level. He's not a game changer. He's a good, solid backup. I like Cook as well. I think you keep developing him and he might be that dude. If it were up to me though, Motor's having a good year, not a great year. So I think we can get Motor back on a decent deal. Steros, why don't you take this and then, you know, we'll run this around to Antoine and see what he thinks.
Honestly, I'd let Motor go and draft a guy. I mean, you look at the stable of running backs that are coming to the league in the draft this year, it's bananas. So that production that Motor brings, I think you can replace. And so I'd rather have James Cook and a rookie be your 1A, 1B kind of thing and let Nyheim Hines play the James Cook role now. No disrespect to Motor, but, you know, I just think that from an athletic standpoint, and contact balance, I mean, he just doesn't really offer you much. Seeing him in the pass game, he's dropping passes. I mean, that kind of stuff drives me crazy, especially when there's no one around you and you're just dropping passes. Like, you can get a really – you can get an upgrade, I'm telling you. Like, you can get a running back that could do what Motor does and offer you the same amount of pass protection or picking up blitzes, you know, that he does in the draft this year. I mean, I could name three or four guys that could do that. So, I'd say let him go.
I just don't trust Brandon. Now, Bill's going to get mad. I trust Brandon Bean as a GM. I don't trust him as an eye for talent for running backs. The running backs that he's drafted in the – come on, man. Like, we traded one for Nyheim Hines. It's like, you know, I don't know. Twan, what you think about that, man?
Unless you have a generational running back as a whole, like, on your roster, then draft them young, run them into the ground for 4 years. Let them go, draft their replacement, and just keep it moving. Unless you got like a LaDainian Tomlinson or Derrick Henry or someone like that, then yeah, I'm not about paying running backs. Like, I'm really not. Like, I don't think. Yeah, you look at Ezekiel Elliott with the Cowboys. Their deal was terrible, and then honestly, they got Pollard's better running back than him right now. So
yeah, right.
So for me, like, yeah, just keep drafting running backs unless you got like a home run, like, Hall of Fame guy, then I don't sign him at all to a second contract. That's just always been my philosophy.
But I see what you're saying, Spence, about what Brandon, because Brandon Bean holds on to his guys for too long. You know what I'm saying? So he'll probably re-sign Motor, but I don't think that's the play. But I think, you know, there's something to be said about Brandon Bean and his ability to draft wide receiver and running back talent. I just don't think it doesn't seem like he's very confident in that, you know?
Well, I don't think he wants to use high draft capital on those positions. Like, it seems like he values the defensive line and maybe even the offensive line more. Like, we took an offensive lineman in the second round that we ended up trading to the Arizona Cardinals. So don't feel like when it comes to running backs, I know this year we took Cook in the second round, but I feel like you almost had to when the Jets took Hall, and you had to add some type of dynamic weapon. But I don't know. I don't trust him when it comes to draft of running backs and wide receivers at this point. Cause to me, I still don't think Gabe Davis is like the dude that we want to, but that's a different conversation. Let's move on to the last game of the week that I want to really highlight. I just don't feel like arguing with everybody.
You're right though, but you're right.
You know, Gabe Davis to me, he's not wide receiver two. He got a touchdown last night. Yay. He also had two drops last night, and he's had a ton of drops throughout the season. Coming into the game last night, he had 33 receptions for the year. Same thing with Dawson Knox. Dawson Knox is being underutilized, and he has 33 receptions. I just don't – anyway, the Chiefs game, the Chiefs and the Bengals, I think that's also a game that everybody's going to have their eyes on. Twan, what are you watching for when you watch that game?
I mean, Jamar Chase will be back too, and then – I'm trying to see. I want to see if Joe Mixon returns too. He still hasn't been cleared from concussion protocol. If he can be cleared, then I think that's a big boost for the Bengals there. You get your trio back with Burrow, Chase, and Mixon. And I mean, you need all hands on deck, especially in a game like this where you're playing a high powered Chiefs team that, you know, obviously you know what Patrick Mahomes is, and you know what Travis Kelce is too. And so I definitely think it'll be like a shootout, like kind of similar, I think, what we saw in the regular season matchup between the Bengals and Chiefs last year too as well. So yeah, basically it's going to be, it might be one of those cases where the whoever gets the ball last end up winning the game too. But you know, I know you're not big on the Bengals, but you know, they definitely they're in it. They still have an opportunity to win a division. It's a big game for them. Obviously still a big game for the Chiefs too as well. They want to continue to, you know, hold serve in the AFC at the number one spot too, especially with the Bills winning. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this one. This definitely is going to be a huge matchup.
Yeah, I'm not high on them, but I would absolutely love for the Bengals to prove me wrong when it comes to this weekend. Like, go out there and smack these boys, smack the Chiefs. Where are you at with the Sterls?
I mean, these two teams are practically identical. You got the second-ranked offense in the Kansas City Chiefs versus the eighth-ranked offense in the Cincinnati Bengals. And if I'm not mistaken, I think the Chiefs are ranked ninth and the Bengals are ranked eighth in defense. So these guys, the matchups that are there, I think it's going to come down to who's going to make a play. And right now, if I had to make an assumption or a guess, I really do think that the Bengals have a really good opportunity to come in here and win this game if Ja'Marr Chase plays. You know, T. Higgins had a really good game last week. And maybe we should start thinking about the Bengals in a different light. Maybe this is just one of those teams that they just start off slow. I mean, last year we saw them catch lightning in the bottle toward the middle of the season. They carried that momentum to the playoffs and to the Super Bowl. So maybe, you know, I was with you earlier, like, yo, the Bengals are trash. But now they seem to be getting it together. And so, you know, Trey Hendrickson and these guys, if they can continue to find a pass rush, I think it'll be a good game. If I had to put money on it, I bet on the Chiefs because, I mean, there is no stopping Travis Kelce right now and Patrick Mahomes. But I think, like you guys said, you know, it's going to come down to whoever has the ball last.
I still don't believe in them the way I did. Now in the AFC, I think because it's loaded at the top there, like obviously it's division winners. And then those wild card spots, I think it's going to be tough. Like, you know, when we're still talking about, you know, the Jets kind of having the ability, hopefully, to make it. The Patriots mm-hmm. probably out now. But, you know, like when you have certain teams up there, and I don't think they're winning that division. I still think that the Baltimore Ravens, I know they took an L and it was an ugly loss with the 2-point conversion. And, you know, I get it. You lost to Jacksonville, but I just don't see Lamar. I don't know. I just don't see Lamar Jackson really taking those type of L's to really put the Bengals in position to win that division. And I feel like Twan just looked like,
They're tied up right now. I mean, they got the same record. Only thing, Ravens have the tiebreaker right now because they won early in the season. So, I mean, they got a game week 18. They could be the division. Like, so I could definitely see that being the 8:30 game, 8:20 game on Sunday night. I mean, that might be what it comes down to. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get ready to get on out of here. If y'all are listening or if y'all watching and y'all still have some free time, my man Bruce Nolan and Nate Geary is coming up directly following us with Food for Thought. Make sure y'all check it out on that Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. I forgot to say, and I apologize to our sponsors, this is sponsored by Picasso Pizza in Buffalo. Treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day, Picasso Pizza. That's PicassoPizza.net, shipping local and nationwide. Before we get on out of here, we got about 4 minutes before we have to get on out of here. I do want to ask if there is an album or if there's anything that y'all listening to that I need to listen to this week while I'm watching the games.
I got one for you, man. Metro Boomin came out with a new album today, actually. And I like it. It's called Heroes and Villains. You know, it's just that trap, you know, you can listen to Takeoff's song on there. It's pretty dope. Actually, I just pulled it up, but it's called, Feel the Fire. I think it's dope.
I'll check it out. And I read today that Takeoff's, the suspect was arrested in Takeoff's murder. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's good news. But no, I'll check out Metro Boomin's album. Consistently, he's one of the, they put out good, Metro puts out good music, yeah, just in general. Antoine, what you listening to?
I've been listening to, I like Merce. I don't know how many, like, how much of y'all Merce have y'all listened to. Like, he's one of my favorite underground hip hop artists. Mm-hmm. Like, he has an album with The Grouch that I definitely like too. Also, another underground guy. So, yeah, I definitely been vibing to that. So, that's been a solid album.
All right. Well, this week, really more so today, but then, you know, I'm going to stick on it this weekend too. I've been kind of catching up on Joey Badass. I like that 2000 album that he dropped earlier this year in July. I'm about to probably go and dig into some of his earlier music too. Dude is a beast. I didn't realize, like, I knew he was good.
Like, you've been sleeping on that, Dan.
I have 100%. I've been sleeping on that, but you know, it's like, I feel like, there's so many artists that come out of New York, and you know, it's like sometimes they get lost in the shuffle. I definitely was sleeping on Joey Badass. I ain't even gonna hold you. Like, the dude is nice.
You grigging back into his older stuff. Like, I listened to 1999 too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. So we're gonna get on out of here. Twan, why don't you let everybody know where they got
it? My name, Antoine Staley on Twitter. That's probably the easiest way to find it.
Sterling, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you as well?
Hey, at Furrow Sterling on Twitter, man. You can find me at the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network, buffalorumblings.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, y'all know how I do it over here. It's your boy, Jay Spencer King, and I represent that Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Podcast Network. Y'all love each other, take care of each other, live in peace. As always, stay positive, test negative, go Bills.